Look at this motherfucker. So American.
You're beautiful.
Is that your new backdrop?
Yeah, this is, it's in my office. So I needed it's a 10-foot flag. So it looked good. It felt like the place to put it.
Dude, it's so it's so appropriate for you.
It feels right.
Yeah.
Feels right.
Man, it's a period in time where half the country wouldn't have that on their wall. Isn't that nuts?
It is a very, very wild time about, I don't know if it's like different views or like, I don't know how everybody doesn't like this thing.
Yeah.
From the country, to be honest.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because it's like, it stands for the good, but in my opinion, it does. And that's where I think whenever I just said my opinion, I think some people like, fuck that thing. I'm like, but there's so much great that comes from it. You know,
I think people see the fault and don't see the good. And they're like, but all these things were bad. And I'm like, yeah, there was bad, but there's so much good that's been corrected and made out of that bad. And the part of my feeling is like, I think the people that, and I don't want to generalize because everybody has a different opinion about everything, but what I see is a lot of people that don't feel anything for it, haven't been anywhere else. And I'm like, I don't know if you realize how good you have it compared to some places on earth.
And that's that, I think that's that like entitled bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, like bro, there's bad in anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There is literally bad in fucking anything out there, and you'll find it. You'll find it by just searching for it. But I think that, I don't even know how to describe it anymore. It's kind of disgusting how people view each other.
Yeah. It's nice to see that it's nice to see that you're proud though. And you're like, you know, not proud in your face, but you're like, I'm proud of like where I come from and what I've done and where we live and all that. I mean, that's nice to hear. Nice to see.
It's weird because of this. I'm very proud of where I'm from. I'm an American. I'm very proud of it. America has done a lot of great things in the world. Done some fucked up things. Just like an individual. Yet, like, whenever you... So we actually had somebody, they were from America, stationed in Japan. And they came into the office, and they're part of our demo crew elite. And we were talking to her, and they were telling us about Japanese culture. Okay? Which is very proud people, like very different culture. Like, bro, it was wild hearing some of the stories.
Yeah.
But they were saying that like their children were born in Japan. Okay. But they're not Japanese because they're not Japanese. There's no Japanese descent. They're from America.
They're from America. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you were born in Japan, you're not Japanese. Okay. And they actually have a word for people that are non-Japanese people who live there. They're like, they're outsiders that come in to live for a certain period of time. They're not ousted, but they're not
welcomed.
They're not as welcomed.
Yeah.
And they have a name, I think it was Gaisheng.
Okay.
And there's things over there where they say no Gaisheng, meaning you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
Like, no, there are signs on certain places and that you don't go in because you're an outsider and you don't belong there.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, no fucking way. And they're like, yeah, that's, I mean, but they're very proud people. They take pride in their work.
Yeah.
They take pride in everything that they make.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is wild. And I'm like, don't you think it's weird? Because if you were of any other descent, Japanese, Chinese,
wherever,
Middle Eastern, whatever.
Yeah.
If you are born in America, you're born in America, you're an American.
Automatically. Yeah,
we love you.
But I'm going to give you the flip side. Just and everybody watching, just please. This is just for the sake of conversation. I'm going to give you the flip side.
Yeah,
I think from what I hear, because I try and watch all the news, both sides, and get different perspectives. From what I see and hear, I feel like the people that are born here, and you say they're American, but they feel like they're not represented. Is that fair?
Okay. Yeah, but my thing is, I guess this is like kind of my personal feelings, and I don't know, just because I'm not that person.
Yeah.
So how are you misrepresented?
Well, I think they're looking, I think they're looking skin deep. They're like, well, there's not an Arabic guy in, like, if let's say pretend I was one of those people, there's not an Arabic guy running the government. So I don't feel represented. I mean, I personally think that's a silly comment, but
yeah,
that's like what I hear coming from those kinds of people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care. Okay. So right now, the way I look at everything on a grand scale is now that I'm a business owner and have all these employees, and you the same, your company's growing, you need more people.
Yeah.
If someone wants, like, you motherfucker, you need people.
Yeah.
And you need good people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now whenever there's a job opening at Hostile, does it matter if that person is white, black, Middle Eastern, gay, straight, anything? Does it matter?
No, but for the sake of debate, I'm going to say, for the sake of conversation, I'm just going to say that a country is not a business.
But what I'm stating is,
yeah,
from my personal view about it, whenever you were talking about anybody to be included in something that you hold so tightly to yourself,
yeah,
it does not matter what they are, who they are, any, no color, nothing. The superficial skin deep shit doesn't matter.
Agreed.
Because you're going to invite them into your life.
Yeah, I agree.
And the way I view this country is my life. I'm viewing it as a family representation. And I know that's a simplistic way of looking at things,
true,
but that goes to say the same in the community. Mm-hmm. If you look at your community that way and you're like, that guy's from the Middle East, fuck him. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I hope nobody clips that piece out. Just that one sound bite.
Look at this. It's all you. Yeah. It's, oh, man.
Don't and do you're that. In front of an American flag. Anyway, but I'm sorry. Go on.
No, but it doesn't matter, because yeah, whenever people come to work here, I'm looking for the person that is going to help this business in the best that it can be. Yeah. And then I think in my community, I view the same. Like, I go to school board meetings now. Whenever I'm at the school board meeting, I'm looking at as many ways as possible to help my district, to help my school, the schools where my kids go to school, become better. And I don't care who the fuck you are or what you do. Yeah. I care, are you benefiting the community and the people? Mm-hmm. And with all that being said, we all know those things. If you have a good heart, that's what you believe. It doesn't matter if you're fucking Canadian. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You should be proud to be Canadian. But
can I ask you this question? Yeah. Do you think it has something to do with the fact that you've traveled so much and you've been around so many different people? Because I feel I have a personal belief that people that don't travel anywhere or ever have any connection to different cultures are definitely more close-minded about these kind of things.
Also, I believe it has a lot to do with your upbringing.
True.
You know, like, my mom raised me to be a really caring person. My mom's a fucking sweetheart.
Yeah.
Anybody, like, growing up, we went to the Hope Center for Women and Children, donated old clothes. She donated her time, talked to women that were, you know, abused and had fucked up relationships, kids, like, and we'd go there and see it, and she'd tell us about what we're doing. And then I have my father, who is just the hardest working fucking guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I grew up in a very unique place, just in the sense of a traditional household, but not to say that my parents didn't have their blips in their relationship. But it was, that's what I grew up in. And I grew up in a community. My dad always, you know, take care of your community. We're going to install countertops at the new fire department. We're going to install countertops at the town hall center. And I'm like, okay, cool. I go there and they'd be like, thanks, Greg, all these things. So I grew up in that environment to be a part of your community and do a good job.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people grew up like that.
No.
You know, no. And like you said, if you don't travel very much or even just outside of your state or outside of your community, you're gonna be a little closed in. But I think that what I was getting at before this was, I think everybody now understands that what the media and what administrations do, whether it's left or right, they have an agenda. Sure. And that agenda doesn't include you to be included on it. You're the pawns.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We are, and that's what sucks. And because everybody can feel it.
Yeah.
Everybody can feel the polarization.
Yeah.
And it really sucks.
Yeah, I don't know how to. Sometimes I don't know how to bridge the gap. Like if we're talking about the V word, you know, people are so people. I can't even say it because my channel will get demonetized.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So you know, people are so for or so against, and I'm like, why don't you just leave everybody the fuck alone? Like, just you do what you want to do. Like, it's, you know, can I be honest with you? From the very beginning of this whole thing, I've mm-hmm. been completely indifferent to it. It's the first time in my life when I've said, I don't care, that I meant it like 100%. There's not 1% of me that cares. I don't care if you go get it. I don't care if you don't go get it. I just don't give a shit. And I just don't understand the vitriol that's like,
you know. And it's, I think because of who we are and our, and what we've done, like how we've, bro, we have, as bodybuilders, have been ousted by the mainstream community because we're
yeah, we're fucked and we're anyway. Like,
hold on. We don't really like to pass judgment here. You know, we're inclusive.
Yeah.
We don't like that shit. And if you want to go do that, you can go do that. And you're like, man, such and such is a wild fuck.
Yeah.
He's crazy. And you're like, yeah, let's talk about him. This is great. You know? But I think that we have a different view because there is a lot of judgment in our industry, but at the same time, like if there is somebody outside of the fitness community that starts to attack anybody in the fitness, whether it's powerlifting, bodybuilding, strongman, we're all like,
we all get in on it.
No, fuck you guys. Yeah. We're the only ones allowed to judge these people.
That's
I'm
right,
the only one that's allowed to talk shit on this guy because I'm one of them.
That's right.
And I think, but I think that's why a lot of us are like, you want to do it, but don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, yeah, I got that. So
I think, no, go ahead, sorry.
No, I didn't mean to get into the politics. It's just the flag threw me. I was happy right to away. See it. I watched it. The reason is I just saw a news video, like a news clip. I don't know, man. It actually bothered. I'm not even fucking American. It bothered me. Okay. So I was watching this girl. There was just a news clip of this girl. She must have been, I don't know, 20, 25. And she was walking by this house that had American flags planted kind of all along the front of their lawn.
I know which one you're talking about.
Have you seen it? And she, it was like, there was like one flag every 5 feet or something like that, or every couple feet. And she was walking by just kicking. No, she was kicking them over. She wasn't even pulling them out with her hands. She was just kicking them over. And I'm like, and it didn't bother me because I'm not, you know, because I'm American or not American. I think it bothered me because I'm like, you're so fucking spoiled. Like, what do you like? Just explain to me. I just like to grab that person and be like, explain to me how are you helping by doing this? Like, what is this doing by kicking over these? Like, what are you trying to accomplish by kicking over the flags and acting like a cunt? Like, I don't, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
That's what's scary about what's occurring right now, because it's like there's no rhyme or reason. It's just occurring.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's like hate for the sake of hate. It's like it doesn't even, you know what I mean?
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's anyway, really bad.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take the podcast into this weird political turn. I just...
Okay, people like it.
I always like to chop it up with you about shit. The reason I did want to get you on is because you bought a TRX recently, and I just want to talk about your truck for an hour straight.
Oh, man, Fuad, I got really bad news.
No, you sold it. Don't tell me you sold it. You wrecked it. You jumped it and you wrecked it. No way. Tell me what happened.
I peeled away, dude. I got really comfortable in the truck.
For people who don't know what we're, before you tell the story, people don't know what we're talking about. This is the Dodge Ram TRX. It's got 700 horsepower. It's a super truck that is supposed to be an off-road Baja monster. And Seth bought one a few months ago, and I've been looking at one ever since, or even before that, and I haven't pulled the trigger. So anyway, tell me what happened.
Listen, they are the coolest trucks on the road. The coolest.
Okay.
I am not an impulse buyer. No, not an impulse buyer. I'm very calculated. I'm the most indecisive motherfucker on the planet. It'll take me a week just to pick out like a certain color that I want to wear in a photo shoot, and it'll end up just being jeans and the fucking t-shirt anyway. So I had this bug up my ass where I'm like, I'm going to go buy a TRX. So I just went out and bought a TRX.
The impulse.
And What's that?
The impulse took over.
Oh yeah, I was like, fuck it, it's gonna. I love trucks. Why don't I have this truck?
Okay.
Well, it is the coolest truck on the road. 700 horsepower. It is insane.
Yeah.
Insane. It is everything that YouTube videos make it out to be. It is everything that you think it is in your head. Yeah. It is the coolest vehicle on the road.
Okay. I'm going to call my dealership. One sec. I got to call my fucking car dealership and fucking order
one. They should send me one for free because everybody that asks me about them, I'm like, they are the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I got comfortable in it. 702 horsepower and this bitch fucking rips.
Yeah.
You hit the gas, it goes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I was doing fucking donuts. I'm like, I'm going to test out to see the durability of this bitch. Let's see what it can do. So I'm fucking ripping around the roads and then I take it off road. And I'm like, let's put it in Baja mode. Let's see how fast we can go. I'm in a field doing 100 miles an hour in
flat,
a truck.
Flat field. Like flat, or are you talking like hills and?
I mean, there's nothing. In the middle. In Western PA, there's not many flat places. So, I mean, like, right. You can cruise and you're, but the thing is with the suspension in it, yeah. Whenever you're driving, yeah. You hit a bump, it does not feel like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because there's a bump. So, right up the road here, there's like a speed bump in the road to keep people from going fast in the back part of this parking lot. Well, I'm like,
yeah, fuck it.
What better place to test this bitch out? So, I fucking put it in Baja mode and I throw it. It's on a straight, you know, asphalt road. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then there's a speed bump there. I'm like, let's hit it at 75. So I'm flying 75 miles an hour. No bump.
Don't even feel it. Oh, I love it. That's great.
Meanwhile, it's a fucking big speed bump. In any truck, you're like.
Yeah, you feel it.
Not in this truck. Yeah. Not in this one. So, and I'm fucking ripping around. I'm in Baja mode. I go out into the fields. And 100 miles an hour, dude, it is the coolest fucking thing on the planet.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So one day. I mean, I peeled out. I've done donuts on asphalt, yeah. You name it. I was doing it. Well, one day it got the best of me. Oh, I peeled out of a parking lot and I'm fucking screeching, going side to side, fucking cruising, laying a serious patch. And then all of a sudden, took off, threw me into an embankment. And the embankment was probably about 8 foot tall. What Go the up the embankment. Down the other side and then right into a tree.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
Holy fuck.
The frame was twisted.
How fast were you going to hit the tree?
Well, the thing was, there was no traction on my tires. I was fishtailing for a second and it was going back and forth. Cause I was doing that. And then all of a sudden, dude, it ripped. And I was a YouTube video. That's
what you're the guy in the Mustang. You're the guy in the Mustang that just lost it.
Dude, I'm comfortable enough to say it. Okay, I'm okay with it. Went up, but the thing was, so I get up, I go over, and it fucking sends it right into a tree, and the fucking front end's mangled. Everything's twisted. No airbag deployment. Okay.
Oh shit.
And so the tow truck driver comes up. He comes in, and he's like, bro, what the fuck did you do? I'm like, what's it look like? And he's like, looks like this bitch got away from you. And I was like, it did. He's like, man, he's like, this is the TRX, right? And I'm like, yeah, it is. And he's like, oh, is this really hurt? He's like, how'd the airbags not go off? And I'm like, I think it was meant to do these things. he's like, it definitely was. And so he's pulling it out. And, you know, I had to call Hannah. I called her. I'm like, hey. She's like, why are you calling me right now? And I'm like, oh man. Fuck. I'm like, don't get upset. I wrecked my truck. And she's like, you motherfucker. She's like, I hated that truck since the beginning. I can't. And she just started laying into me.
Holy fuck.
I get off the phone and she's coming. And I'm like, man, she's going to be pissed. So I'm talking to a tow truck driver. I was like, hey. I was like, wife's coming. She's super pissed. And he's like, man, he's like, she really liked the truck, huh? She loved this. And I'm like, no, dude. I was like, he thought that like that was her favorite truck.
Yeah.
Like, dude, she's pissed at me because I could have killed myself, you know? Fuck. And yeah. But so, she came super pissed.
Okay, dude. That's, see, this is what I'm worried about. Okay, can I tell you? So I ordered one.
Fucking right.
Yeah.
You should. So, I want to order another one. So I gotta wait like 6 more months until she calms down.
Gotta wait till she can fucking breathe a bit. I ordered one. I'm waiting 2 weeks. It should be here. And I'm like a kid at Christmas. I'm like, because I'm unlike you, I'm the most impulsive person on earth.
But you're experienced at driving fast vehicles.
I'm not like a race car driver or nothing. I'm worried. But the thing is, I'm different than you in this way. So when I had my Corvette, remember?
Yeah. So that's what I mean. You've had these vehicles. Yeah. You've had crazy vehicles before.
So I took it to the track once. Mm-hmm. And it's got carbon ceramic brakes. And they're meant to like never fail and never fade. And I went to the track for half a day. I melted all four of my tires. And my brakes were screeching afterwards. I was done. And they're $14,000 brakes. God. Yeah. So I'm like, I taught myself at that point. I was like, okay, I have the money to buy the car. I don't have the money to fuck around with the car. So ever since that first Corvette, I've learned this is an expensive fucking car. I can't. Because like I thought to myself when I get the Trackhawk, I'm like, yeah, I want to go off-road. And I'm like, you're going to fuck it up. Don't go off-road. Just have the truck and be happy with the truck. And you... Dude, you wrecked your truck.
Oh yeah. Like I said, I'm gonna buy another one. There's no way I'm not.
Is it that good?
It's the coolest thing on the road.
How bad is the I gotta ask you, and I know everybody asks you, how bad is the gas? Like 8 miles per gallon? 6? 10? Tell me you got 10.
Yeah. If you are in Baja mode for a ripper. To like head to like you say you want to go into the office or wherever you're going or whatever, like you're heading to the gym, you put it into Baja mode and rip there, you are not getting anything better than 6 miles per gallon.
Fuck. Oh well.
I mean, I took it out to Harrisburg, which is about a 3-hour trip from here. Mm. I took it out there and I got like 11 miles per gallon.
That's not bad.
And I was ripping. I was going fast.
I mean, for people listening, that is bad. But like my lifted trucks were around 11, 12, 13. Yeah. You know, you put
fucking... if you get to a red light and then just do nothing but hammer on it to get there. Yeah. You're looking at 4.
Well, 5. I mean, I have the track 4 or 5.
Bro, okay. So before I did this, we had so many funny videos planned because just the mayhem of it, bro, you will literally watch it.
Seriously, eh?
Oh yeah, dude.
Well, luckily it's not my daily. Like I have a daily.
Yeah.
This is kind of I traded my Trackhawk for it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Good trade. Good trade. I think
it's a good trade.
Yeah. There's no way you're gonna be disappointed. It's the coolest thing on the road. It literally is the most fun truck on the fucking road.
Okay, I have a question for you. So when you got yours, did you get the Ram bar or no?
No.
This thing here, just so people know what I'm talking about. This Ram bar here on the back, this thing, did you get it?
No, I didn't. The one that I got literally came in the day before I called, because the dealer right up the road is the one that I get all my trucks from.
Yeah.
They had one in and they had it ordered. They ordered it and it had all the custom stitching, like it was black seats, black interior, but then they got the carbon fiber, their version of the carbon fiber all through it. Yeah. And then it had red stitching on the seats. It was a really cool package. But they didn't have the Ram bar on it.
Well, the question I'm wondering is, do I get
what color did you get?
I got black.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted white. I told him I wanted white or silver.
Mm.
But he's like, because I like the lighter colors, show the lines a little bit more.
Sure.
But I've always had black cars too, so I was like, I kind of wanted something different. But then he's like, you're gonna have to wait an extra like 2 months, and I'm like, fuck it, I'll take the black one.
No, take the black one. You're good. Listen, there is nothing that I did not like about this truck. The gas mileage didn't bother me at all.
You're like, fuck it. I didn't care. Yeah.
It was the coolest thing in the world.
Okay. So let me, I got to ask.
I'm going to get another one. I've made my mind up.
Okay, good. Hopefully when all this shit is over with the C word, I can drive over and we can go Baja together.
Yeah. We'll wreck it together. I mean, we'll drive it together.
Okay. So I have to show you this.
Yeah.
I had a poll going of like, you know, uh-huh. 700 people answered. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. So I don't know. You didn't modify yours at all, did you? You didn't do anything to it?
I didn't have time.
Yeah, you wrecked it before you could fix it. So this guy up here has 12-inch wide wheels.
Yeah.
And 22-inch rims.
Yeah.
On a 35-inch tire. So you can see more wheel, a little less tire. This guy down here has 12-inch wide tires and, sorry, 12-inch wide wheels, but he's got like, I don't know, these look like they're 19s or 20s, maybe 18s on a 35-inch tire. So do you like more rubber, more wheel?
I'm more rubber guy.
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm that Western PA, like, bro, I'm, so since I can't do this, I'm looking at old square bodies. And that's where I'm like, yeah, I like the more rubber. I've always been that look, just it's old school. But on this truck, I honestly believe you can't go wrong because it's still a meaty looking truck on the top. It's still with 22s, you said? With 22s, it still looks meaty.
Yeah.
But I prefer, I mean, I like black over the red, but I like the big tires over the big wheels.
Over the small wheel, you mean? Yeah.
Man, that black's sick.
I don't know how much off-roading I'm going to do, to be honest, because I think I will wrap it around a tree.
So I'm like,
if I'm not going to off-road it, I feel like more wheel is the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, but it's still a meaty look. It's not like you went like 24s on.
I don't want to do that. That's too much. No. I've seen some that have that and I'm like, ah, you kind of ruined your truck.
Yeah. You see them on like on big Super Duties and shit, but you don't see them. You won't see them on that. I don't think you could go wrong.
Yeah. I did it on my Super Duty. I did that. I had 24s, but I felt like that kind of suits that truck a little more. So
this
one, because it's like an off-road truck, I'm like, maybe you can't go too big on the wheel.
You're gonna love it.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm like fucking counting the days. Anyway, more importantly, I'm sorry about your truck, man. I can't get over that. That's fucking crazy.
You know, it's that thing that I do dumb shit. I do it.
I love that you're so open about it.
You know, it's part of everything. Like, you know, wild. Like, I've always been attracted to wild shit. You know, I that's why I love bodybuilding. And my personality is like a 100% or 0%.
Yeah, I
literally am that type of guy. Yeah. And even though we get older, like whenever we were talking, we're like, man, that I had the magazine. The
flashbacks,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, the flashback. And it's like, we're not young anymore, but there is still that dumb shit. Like we got older. I'm like, now I understand why old men were still like, man, look at the ass on that. Like it does not go away. No. It's not going away.
No, not at all. So I want to ask you, so you look good, you look healthy. I know you had some health things you're dealing with and you've corrected them by yourself, which is great. Like no medication, none of that.
Yeah.
I watched one of your recent videos. You're doing some functional training and more cross. I don't know if you want to call it CrossFit style.
Yeah, but, CrossFit. You know, it's fine. I'm comfortable with my sexuality.
I don't want to offend you. It's like I can't even say the word. I'm like, I don't know if I should call it. Should I say he's doing CrossFit? I don't want to offend him.
Well, then there's people that are saying, I'm like, guys, it's okay. Like there was a couple people that were like, you fucking bash CrossFitters forever. And I'm like, bro, I'm like the one guy that was like, don't judge people in the gym.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're whatever you're doing, just don't be a douchebag.
Yeah.
But no, the functional training was good for me because being open about it, the bodybuilder style workouts, I love them.
Yeah.
I absolutely love them. But whenever for me mentally, like to get out of the gear use and to get to the TRT, I had to get away from that style of training because I chased the feeling. And that feeling came from testosterone, D-ball, pumps, all of it. And I'm like, okay, you know, personally, this just me personally. If I do those styles of workouts, I'm going to see myself going, what's another like 100 megs a week?
Yeah.
Before I know it, I'll go from 200 to 300, from 300 to 400. And, you know, it's easy to say you won't do those things. And I might not have. But at the end of the day, in my head, I'm like, I'm going to foolproof this fucking plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to get away from it. And it's personally because I don't have to push big weight anymore. And if I kept doing it, it would be, I feel like it would have been bad for me personally. Other people perfectly fine with it. And I still do bodybuilder style workouts, just not every day anymore. That's all.
That's actually incredible that you said that because so obviously, you know, I'm retired or whatever, almost retired, whatever I call it. I still have a little hope in the back of my head, but anyway, so let's just say I'm retired.
You saw me posing this morning, all my stories. I'm still in it. Man, I could do a show.
You actually could, though. You actually, back, well, I don't want to send you down that road.
Back on some shots.
Seth's back on a cycle next week. No, so this is the thing. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm older and I got to change my workouts because I just can't hack squat fucking 10 plates anymore. I can't squat 5 plates anymore. It's not, well, number one, it hurts painfully. Number two, it's interesting you said that because to try and do those workouts without gear is actually mentally very challenging for guys like us because we've been to such a place beforehand, right? Like when you've been to 5-6 plates on a weekly basis, it's hard to all of a sudden, oh, I'm only going to squat 2 plates.
And I don't know if it's an identity thing or it's whatever it is, but me personally, like doing that, like I was on gear since I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
So 16 years of strong gear use and abuse. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're like, you know, natural this. And I'm like, no. It's a big thing mentally that I'm rewiring myself of the next steps of my life. And I think that there's not many retired pros or people that did this for almost 2 decades that come out and say, yeah, this is just what I'm doing and I'm perfectly fine with it. Yeah. Now you're going to go through some shit and it's everybody's doing it in their own personal way.
Yeah.
Cause there's no book on this shit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's no book on it. And we all have to go through it and transition out of it. Cause some people, and we see it, they don't make it that far.
Yeah.
You know, they're not fortunate to make it to that far or ever pull themselves out of it to take the next steps in life.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
I've dealt with some, I mean, I don't know, you know, how deep we want to get, but I've dealt with some really fucking tough days.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's partially identity. Like when we're talking about identity, that's a really tough part because you're like, this is all I've known for 20, like eat, sleep, breathe. There was no podcast. There was no videos. There was no business. There was no coaching. I mean, coaching off and on, but there was no, it was just eat, train, fucking sleep,
go just to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's weird. It's like, I tried to talk to my brother about it and he's like, you know, things change, you know, get another career. And it's like, I'm like, I don't think you get like the amount of like when literally nothing else on earth matters except for this one fine point. And then it's taken away. You're like, holy fuck. Now what? Right.
And I use the word identity because my entire life was that guy.
Yeah.
Even my personal life, my home life, my work life, you know, I invested decades of my life to what this company is right now. And the same goes for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whenever you were a broke ass motherfucking bodybuilder with no money, still finding a way to eat, still finding a way to train, still finding a way to live and have that little bit of fucking normal life in you. You made no money and you were living on the edge, on some credit, on whatever it may have been. And now whenever people see you and we joke around about buying 3-4 vehicles and things like that, you're like, no. I've invested everything. My whole entire identity and life has been built upon these days that I'm living right now.
Yeah.
And then I thought that all these things would be occurring whenever I was in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Not on the back end when I'm literally a big time business owner now. Yeah. I'm 206 pounds instead of 250 fucking sauced out stiff dick squatting 600 pounds. No, I'm like, so I'm going to do my cardio this morning. I'm going to have a light breakfast. I'm going to eat my greens. I'm going to have one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And you know, before it was like, I'm going to fucking slam a pot of coffee this morning.
Yeah.
And it's the identity part is, it's a transition and it is tough.
Can I ask you, so you retired a long time ago. It's like, you know, what, 2015 or 14?
13.
13. Okay. So quite a while ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So did you go through, so it's been 5 years since I competed, but it's only probably been 2 years or maybe a year since I kind of knew like, that's it. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't really start to deal with the, oh shit, I'm retired. Until it wasn't when I stopped competing. It was when I realized I wasn't going to compete again. So it's only been like this last year. Right. Mm-hmm. And what I'm wondering is, you've only downsized in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So did you deal with the retirement issues before, or did you just start dealing with them now after you finally realized I can't be big anymore? I can't be that guy anymore.
I never competed because, like, back in, like, say, let's say like 18, 19, yeah. 18, whenever I was fucking jammed.
Yeah.
I had in my head that I could fucking go ahead and put and string together 6 months and be like, I'm coming to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it worth it? Because I won't be building what I'm building right now. All those years have built into what we have now, and it's really special. And I don't know if me competing then would have inhibited what's occurring now, this growth and all these great things. And I'm like, man, I don't know. And right now I look back at it and be like, I should have did it. I should have did it.
Yeah. Should have did it while I could. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And but at the same time, I do have a lot of great stuff. But right now, I'd say probably since I tore my tricep,
yeah,
I've realized I look and I'm like, I'm never going to be the same. I should have did
it. Is that when the retirement, like the real mm-hmm. retirement feelings?
Yeah.
Is that when that started to hit you?
Yeah. Whenever I started training again and I was looking at myself, and after having the health blips, I look and I'm like, I'm actually done. I'm done.
Yeah.
It's all gone.
Is that,
it's all gone.
Was that painful? Or, cause the thing is this. So when I did talk to my brother, there was one really bad day where I was like really fucked up.
Yeah.
Call my brother and we're talking about it, and he's trying to make me feel better and trying to talk me through it and shit. And he's like, you know, you got the podcast. The podcast is really successful. We got the business. The business is doing great. You know, because he's partners with us in the business.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still not the same. And I'm not saying I don't love what I'm doing. I'm not saying I don't love the podcast. I'm not saying I'm not, the business is so fulfilling, right? But it's a different feeling. And I don't know, like, do you deal with that? Or is it like, has it been able to fill the void? No, eh?
I'm right there with you, because I'm still trying to find out how that void is filled, because that whatever the void was before we started doing these things, like whenever you're like, why did you start lifting weights in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You were filling a void. Okay.
Yeah.
So whenever I started filling that void is like now, I don't want to say maybe this is too deep, or I'm going to a place I don't really understand. I'm trying to figure it out because right now that void is not filled. And it's like, I filled that void 20 fucking years ago.
But let's answer that though. So if we filled that void, if you asked me when I was 20, what are you doing? Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
First thing that came to mind was competition. I was like, well, I used to play football. There's no more football around. I want something to channel my physical outlet. Okay. It was competition, right? And mm-hmm. then I think the second thing that would come to mind would be, I need something to really challenge myself.
Yeah.
Okay. But if those are the two things, like maybe there's something deeper, but if those are the two things, wouldn't our businesses fulfill those two things?
I was just going to say those things. I was just going to say that because you know how hard it is to build a business.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, business is doing pretty fucking good. I'm pretty fucking good at this.
Yeah.
So I'm still searching for something.
It's not the same void. Yeah.
No looking.
But maybe, because, go ahead, sir.
No, I was just going to say, because whenever you're like competition, all right, well, you're selling supplements and literally you're selling things in literally the most saturated competitive industry.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Definitely.
Because it's global, and it's like, how many fucking pre-workouts are on the market?
Sure.
Tons.
Yeah.
So, and it's like the competition side of it, you liked it to be physical. You know what I mean? That's the thing that I'm looking at them. The thing is, I'm like, I like physical things.
Yeah.
I like it. And me doing the functional training, it's physical, and I'm not really great at it. I used to be an athlete, but I'm like, and then doing some kickboxing stuff. We have our MMA fighter, and I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to go kick the bag. And I get in there and I'm like, holy fuck.
You're like, I can't kick the bag.
These guys are really good. This is scary. we've been the big guys this whole time, strong, and people look at us, and then you get in there and you're like, I don't think I should roll around with this.
No,
I don't. I'm literally a white belt. This is my first day. I'm 37 years old, and this fucking kid's 24 years old and just chomping at the bit. He's getting paid to beat the fuck out of people. This isn't going to go my way.
No, definitely not.
But those are, I think, that's where I'm kind of getting outside of my comfort zone, toying with it, and saying, yeah, let's try it out because I like the physical shit.
Sure.
Because you and myself, I put us in that older school category of before phones and the internet, of literally being the Dorian Yates concepts of like being the shadow. I'm going to put my hood up and I'm going to do hack squats until I fucking can't hack squat anymore. And nobody's going to know how hard I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm going to go put 405 on the bar and squat until I can't squat anymore.
Yeah.
And the only people that are going to see it are the people in the gym. And there might be two motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And you'll be that story. Bro, Fuad was in the gym. He did 37 reps with 405 on Saturday. Like, no, he didn't. Be like, motherfucker. Yes, he did.
Yeah. Do you think part of it is, I always wonder this too. Do you think part of it is that bodybuilding is very, there's a self-mastery in it that you can't really get anywhere else? Because when it comes to business, there's a team, right? Like you have a team, you know, Bob and Pat and Mike and, you know, whoever, all your staff, of course. And I have a team and, you know, even the podcast, like, I do the podcast by myself, but it doesn't work without a guest. And like, you know, the thing, there's no self-mastery. So maybe that's part of it also, you know?
Very good point.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing because we found such love for punishing ourselves.
Yeah.
But the reward for the work we were doing was so great.
Yeah.
It bodybuilding really does strike a chord with all of us that, I'll say it's really, I'm having a hard time finding that next thing that really hits that same chord because, dude, there is nothing like killing a fucking workout, having a great meal, and then watching all of your work come to life.
Yeah.
The next day, the next 2 days, you're like, that was a killer leg workout. And you're like, man, I'm going to do that workout because that's the one that hit my leg. Like you're watching it occur over the next day, the next day, and the next day. Cause you never stopped. You analyzed every workout. You analyzed the exercises that got you there. And that term self-mastery is really good.
The pain always gave me more satisfaction than the growth. The next day, if I couldn't walk, I was like, yeah, I fucking killed that shit.
if you weren't sore, you're like,
yeah. Maybe I took a day off yesterday. I didn't realize it.
Yeah. A little bit of a bitch, huh? How was that with the fucking pussy? Yeah, that made you feel.
So let me ask you. So the MMA thing is interesting because I've been thinking about doing jiu-jitsu classes. But I want to ask you. I got to drop some weight because I'll fucking get killed right now at 280 pounds. But
just don't get an arm bar.
get an arm bar. Does that. Okay. So we were talking about squatting, you know, when no one's watching.
Yeah.
When you're doing the functional stuff, do you still get a lot of satisfaction out of going, I did whatever, I don't know, the movements, burpees, whatever the fuck you're doing, right?
Yeah.
I did 100 this week. I did 150, you know, the next week. Like, do you still get that same kind of like?
So I'm pushing myself. I'm learning because I'm searching for that. And Hannah's watching. She's like, cause we'll do workouts on the weekend together.
Yeah.
She'll be like, can we go? And she, that's similar training that she does now. Okay. And like, whenever I'm doing something, she's like, you are so explosive.
That's awesome.
She's like, you are so intense. And I'm like, yeah, I love it. And there's no more pump. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no more pump.
Yeah.
The burn is in your chest because you are winded.
But does that winded feeling give you as much satisfaction as the pump?
I've had a few workouts where I am like, holy fuck, I'm actually getting pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And that's a satisfaction thing. Like, so whenever I'm able to do these intense sessions, like I do them in, you know, rounds, if I do a round and it's like 6.5-7 minutes long and I do it and I get better at it or cut time off of it. And at the end of it, I'm literally on the ground gasping for air. I'm like, bro, this is some shit that people don't like doing.
Oh, no.
Because it does not feel good. And that's the only thing that has come close to Because after a crazy drop set on squats or anything like it, you're like, at the end of it, you're like, nobody's doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This shit sucks.
There's a lot of satisfaction knowing you can do something that not a lot of people can do.
And that's what I've been searching for. And I found it a couple of times, but it's really hard because some days I really don't want to fucking do it. I don't love it like I love squats.
Let me, before you go on, how good does it feel when your wife tells you you're great? Even though it's funny because like in the back of your head, you know, I'm like, you're my wife. You got to say that. Like, my wife will watch one of my videos or something I post on Instagram, or she used to film me, or she'll come to the gym and she'll be like, same. She'll be like, you're so intense. She's like, nobody trains like you train. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, they all train like I train, right? But you still fucking feel great.
Meanwhile, you're like, so there's three people you should never watch.
Yeah. I'm like, don't watch Brett Wilkin. Don't watch fucking Nick Walker. Like, please. Yeah, no. But but that little bit, it's funny what it does to a guy. It's such a fucking meathead thing. But like your woman being there or saying something to you can just drive you to another level.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Because like it's her saying it, like, because you pride yourself on it.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might be better at it, but you're like, motherfucker, I'm going to work really hard. And it's, and the same goes back to her, because she, after the baby, she's been on a fucking, for the past probably like 8 weeks, she's been on this fucking rampage to get in really good shape, because she's never been in really great, phenomenal shape. And the same thing, because whenever I compliment her, she's like, you really think so? And I'm like, yes. Like, you don't see it? Like, you look completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
So is that a product of maybe you're doing something that she can relate to more now? Cause she wasn't into bodybuilding. So maybe she can do the CrossFit stuff. So she's taken to it more.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the progress. Cause like I'm in the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
I've never been in better shape. And she recognized it because, you know, whenever we met in 17.
Yeah.
So She's seen fucking me sauced out of my mind in 18, like fucking 240 pounds, like
breathing heavy.
I'm fucking running, and it's like, she's like, you look like fucking SpongeBob, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Now I'm like fucking limber.
Yeah. Okay. So what, I was going to ask you, so the baby, you have a son, you show him all the time on Instagram. He's fucking adorable. What's it like having a son after having two daughters?
My kids are, I'm going to be that typical dad. My kids are the greatest kids on the planet.
Yeah.
They all are unique in their own way. Adeline is very intelligent. Emmy's the special one. She loves attention.
Yeah.
And she'll do anything she can to get attention. A little frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all knew girls like that in high school.
You gotta keep her off the pole, dude.
Mm-hmm. Not good. But then SJ is, he's worse than those two girls combined times two as children.
Why?
He is, oh, bro, he's in everything. Yeah. Anybody that says boys and girls are the same, all that bullshit, they are fucking not.
Yeah.
This kid is just destructive. He wants to be in everything. He doesn't listen well. He just, like, I had two other kids. Those kids listened. They listened differently. I know he's one and a half, but he does, nothing bothers him. We were over the other day at Mike's house. He's walking around the trucks and his fucking head is hitting off the bumper because he's chasing a ball. And like hit the bumper, didn't cry, just then got down further, picked the ball up on his way up. Whacked his head on the way up. The kid is there.
He's adorable, man. Kid.
Thank you. Yeah, he is.
You look like you're just having a lot of fucking fun.
Having SJ has been one of the reasons that I've been taking my health very seriously. He's you know. Let's cut the bullshit here. With all the money that I make in my entire lifetime. Oh, that was a rough day there. Dude,
this was a great post. You want to talk about this before you go on?
Yep, might as well get into this one. This is Emmy doing sit-ups because she was misbehaving at practice. This is Emmy, like at practice, she'll strive for attention. She'll do whatever. And she was acting up at practice one day, and Hannah told her at dinner, she's like, hey, you know, told me about what happened. And I said, Emmy, you know how we feel about this. If you misbehave again, you're going to have to come and train with me.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's all welled up and crying and stuff. And she's like, okay, I won't. I'm like, good job. The very next day, she acted up at practice about doing sit-ups.
Yeah.
She's like, Hannah came over and she's like, she didn't want to do her sit-ups right, blah, blah, blah. Cause you have to do them a certain way to get as much tension on your core as possible for gymnastics. Yeah. So I was training the older girls at the time. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, you're fucking kidding me. So I'm like, all right. I was like, girls, we're done. Get out. Emmy, come here. And she's like, she was sit-ups. So I was like, Emmy, you're going to do sit-ups until you can't do a fucking sit-up anymore. She's seven. Yeah. I'm like, what am I? I'm like, all right, she'll do 100 sit-ups or get around there, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
And so we started, and then she got to 50. And I'm like, okay. She got to 75, and I'm like, man. I was like, 75 sit-ups in a row is tough. She got to 100, and I'm like, oh, boy. And at this point, like, I have to be a prick.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. You can't just baby your kids all the time. So I'm like, as a kid, you get to 150, I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
She got the 150.
Did you say that to her, or are you keeping a stern face this whole time?
Bro, I was a stern face prick the whole time.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You're an asshole.
Yeah.
I'd love to beat your ass, but
yeah,
you know, she's seven now. You can't really beat a 7-year-old's ass all the time. Like, yeah, she's younger, you can, but so, she got to 150, 175, and I'm like, oh, bitch. And she's starting to well up, like starting to get watery eyes and like starting to stutter. And you can see it starting to become painful. And I'm like, okay, good. You're going to fucking quit
soon. Now we're starting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like it did. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my phone out because I think this is like the stuff you see on the internet when a kid does something pretty profound. So I was like, all right, I got my phone out, and she gets there, and I'm like, bitch is going to get to 200. She got to 200. And then she kept going. And like in the video, you heard her voice start cracking because she'd get there. I'm like, this is going to be it. This is whenever she's going to stop. Nope. She kept going. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, holy fuck. So at that point, like Hannah wasn't in there. It was just her and I.
Yeah.
And I got up and I looked and I said, you keep doing fucking sit-ups. And I went into the other room and I got Hannah. It's like, you need to come here. So Hannah comes and sits down and she's like 237, 238. And Hannah's like, she's like, why won't you do that in practice? I'm like, no. Don't scream at her yet. Don't scream at her yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And she gets to 252. And I'm like, I was like, all right, you're done. And she looked at me all teary eyed and everything. And I'm like, that was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen someone do in my entire life. Wow. I was like, do you understand what you just did? And she's, you know, she didn't really know. And I'm like, Emmy, you are gifted in so many ways.
Yeah.
But all of your setbacks, all of these crying for attention, they will be setbacks in your life and hold you back from doing some of the most incredible things that you will ever do in your life.
Yeah.
I was like, the display that you just put on, not many people would complete it.
Yeah.
You did it. And you have to understand what your capabilities are. And I said, I can't punish you with physical fitness. I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no punishing you. I said, so now the next steps, if you do this, I will take things away from you in your life that you care a lot about. I was like, you won't be getting nighttime snacks. You won't be getting, you know, your phone time, all these things, you know, she does her games on her phone. I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, you won't get any of them and I'll take them away forever until you act how I believe you should act. And she's like, how long's that? And I'm like, could be years, Emmy. You know, it's like, until I think that you're need to be you.
Kids are the best. And, how long is that?
Oh, yeah, dude. No, that's what I mean. She's manipulative little shit.
She's like, I can deal with it. How long is that for?
That's what I mean, dude.
You know what I wondered? I wonder when I'm watching the video, because it's still playing off screen.
Yeah.
I wonder when I'm watching the video, is she doing that many because you're like, it's also the same attention. Like, you're watching her. So she likes that you're watching her. So she'll just keep doing it as long as you're watching.
Bro, that's what I mean. She's a different child.
Yeah.
Like, we had Lexi Priestman. Lexi Priestman is she was an LSU gymnast. She was one of the baddest ass gymnasts in the fucking game, elite level gymnast. Missed the Olympic trials by 29 days because she was 29 days too young to go to the Olympics.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. And then after that, she mangled her shoulders, had 9 surgeries. She's a savage.
Yeah.
So Hannah's like one of her biggest, Hannah is like a huge fan of her. Okay.
Yeah.
So we brought her in to help choreograph the girls over in gymnastics, because I viewed it as like, she's like a bodybuilder. I'll pay her money. She'll come in for the weekend. It'll be like a guest pose.
Yeah.
So she came in and choreographed all this stuff for all the older level girls.
It's awesome.
All the optionals. And while she was there, she saw Emmy and she's like, that's your kid, huh? And Hannah's like, yeah, that's Emmy. That's our kid. And she's like, that one's special. And I'm like, really? Please tell me more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious. She's like, Emmy is what every big time gym coach looks for. I don't know. It's just it. She kept saying
Give you like a tangible answer as to what it was.
She could, but I'm not educated enough to do so.
Yeah.
So pretty much what it was is, Emmy's doing skills. She's 7 years old and she's doing skills that most 11-year-olds can't do.
Oh, okay. So she's ahead of her time. Yeah.
Oh yeah, very, very much so. And at this age is whenever certain coaches really start paying attention. They just track.
Yeah.
Because gymnastics, by the time you're 20, dude, you're smoked in gymnastics.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to take Emmy to big national camps. You need to display her. You need to put her on there for people to see. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. She's 7.
That's cool though, man.
Genetics
run in the family.
But yeah, this kid is she's a phenom. She's gonna be a handful to fucking deal with.
Yeah. That's awesome though, man. Going back to what we were saying before.
So, but
you're having a lot of fun. So go ahead and say what you're gonna say before I interrupt.
But with little SJ, it's you know, my health kick is all based around him. It's all based around him. Bro, I can give my girls, you know, I'm hoping whenever they're, you know, older, whenever they're in their 20s, they'll find a really great guy, somebody to take care of them, somebody to watch over them, somebody to make sure that they're well taken care of. Like I have done with Hannah, you know, I make sure everything's good. But with SJ, you can't leave him money. I can't just leave SJ money and be like, here's money, like, do a good job. No, I have to instill values. I have to teach him to be a man. I have to teach him to be a better version of myself. That's what I hope he grows up to become. Yeah. And with all that, you can't buy those things. There's no money
I just looking at this photo and I'm like, Evan would be jealous of this tractor.
Oh, the John Deere.
Of this lawn.
He's old school. He's got a couple sick old school mowers.
I had him on yesterday. He bought a Skag. I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that is. So
it puts nice lines in the grass and the lawn. It's a nice mower. Nice mower.
You guys are dads for sure, man. I'm so out of touch. I have a guy who cuts my grass. I don't even fucking my lawn is like 20 feet fucking deep. It's like not even.
Yeah.
So Seth, are you still? You seem like you're removed from the sport, but not fully removed from the sport. And I asked Evan this same question yesterday. Are you a fan of the sport still? Do you still follow everybody? Do you still watch all the shows?
I watch everything.
So you're still immersed.
Oh, yes. I watch everything. I see everything going on. Especially right now, because I believe that in open bodybuilding, this is one of the greatest times in open bodybuilding in a long time.
Yeah.
The young guys coming up are super competitive. It's really nice to see what you have done for the sport and what you've been doing over the past year to build the podcast and get everybody involved in the sport. Yeah. It is great because, especially at times like this, with all the bullshit going on in the world, this is a great escape from an entertainment standpoint. Because the bodybuilders are still leaving it. They're still putting it on the line. They're still going after everything they ever wanted. And it's great to see you make sure these people that are doing these things are on the map.
Thanks.
Nick, Ian, like it's... watching it all occur is great because it means that the people love watching it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And you do it in a way with people that the other channels that talk about bodybuilding and fitness do, where it's you're still reviewing people and reviewing what's going on and covering it all, but there's not a bunch of shit attached.
Yeah.
And it's just for the sport and for the sport to grow itself. Done in a different way.
I appreciate that, man. I think it's important. It feels good to me to give these guys their own. I've become the platform, which I'm happy about, but it feels good to get everybody on and just let people hear how people think and how they, you know, different views on different things. And I think it's important to get people connected to them in more ways than just the muscle, right? So
sure.
But going back to, but the reason I asked the question is the Arnold Classic is coming up and it's going to be fucking crazy. I just heard William Bonac's out, but then I also heard he's back in. So I don't know what the fucking truth is.
I just saw the out. I was just like, oh man, that opened up a big door. Well, he was a favorite to win.
I saw that. And then, well, actually someone told me about it a couple of days ago, but then somebody told me today that he's still on a list to have his tan done and he might be there. And I'm like,
that's a list for tanning.
He's still scheduled to tan.
Hey, listen, he's still on schedule to tan. He might not be allowed in the fucking country.
He might. But
that bitch is ready to tan.
I'm just saying. I heard he might still show up, so I don't want to put out bad information.
No.
Wait. Let's see. Since you're here, we'll just see together. So, is that statement on his page?
No, it wasn't on his page. I think it was on. Hold on, it was on
one of the bodybuilding channels.
RX Muscle.
RX shared
it. It was done 2 hours ago.
William will not compete. Okay, well, I'm assuming that if Dave is posting this, he must have spoken to William himself, because Dave wouldn't just post this on a whim.
No, so, I don't think so.
Okay, so assuming William is out. Now comes the tough part. You're going to make some enemies. I've made so many enemies on this podcast. It's weird.
Man, fuck that shit.
I've made so many friends, and I've also made so many enemies.
So that's the thing. You know, I will say this. All right, listen. I had a tremendous fucking tiny short little career of doing a really good job. I won some shows. Everything was great. I didn't handle losing too well. If you lose, the world is not over.
It doesn't feel like it at the time, though.
But what I want every competitor listening, whether no matter what I say, everything's okay. You can come back and do another show, even though you invested every ounce of yourself into it. I appreciate you, even if there is trolls out there that say your fucking calves suck, you're ugly, you got a small dick, your ass wasn't perfect at the moment. It's okay. I still love you and I respect you. There's a lot of us out there. Just come back and do a good job. I wish I would have had that more approach to it more, and understand that even if people do fucking hate you, they're still talking about you, and we love the sport.
Yeah.
That's because no matter who I pick for my top three right now, I think they're all phenomenal. But I think that if they all three show up with their absolute best, no matter how they're placed, it's going to be awesome to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, before you go, let's knock this out real quick. Because I've gotten everybody's predictions, and my predictions have changed like four times.
I believe it.
okay. So I think, where's the list? There. Okay. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go down the list.
Here. Only 11, huh?
Only 11. But it's like crazy competitive.
Yeah,
the Arnold's not usually that big. I think I remember when I did the Arnold's I did it four times, and I think it was usually like 12.
Yeah, around there, 12 to 15.
Yeah. Okay, so I got everybody's stuff written down, so I know who to congratulate after.
Dude, this is tough. This is really tough.
I'm curious.
What are we assuming, that everybody shows up with their A game?
Yeah, because you can do that, or you can just say, look, this is what I think, because some of these guys don't show up with their A game. You can just do your best assessment. Because the funny thing is, so when I do predictions, and other guys on the podcast that I do the podcast with regularly do predictions, Nick and Ian always end up somewhere near the top. But I think it's a bias because we're friends with them. Not that they can't win, or that they're not awesome, but I think just because inherently you're close to that guy, you're going to want to move them up, right?
It's so hard not to put those two in the fucking top now, dude. They deserve it. They proved it.
That's right. So I wonder sometimes when other people come on, because Evan didn't do that.
Did he put a Kim up top?
He had Ian in sixth, which I thought was weird, but this is what I mean. It's the dynamic of not being on the podcast. So maybe he's seeing it with a different lens than I'm seeing it. So I'm interested to see what you think.
All right. I'm going to come out. I'll come out and say this first. I'm a huge Nick Walker fan.
Okay.
I've been since the dude was an amateur. I remember talking to him up at Natural Body four years ago. Like watching him and learning him. I'm like, man, this kid's a little bit of an animal. And he's a really good guy. I couldn't be more happy to see someone succeed other than Nick. Like watching what he's doing, I'm biased towards Nick because I really like him. Works really hard. He's just like everybody dedicated to this, but I mean, he is a one track minded individual, and I respect what he's doing.
I think a lot of people feel that way about Nick because of his mindset and his attitude.
I think right now you could have any of these. You could have any of these. What is this? I'd probably say 1, 2, 3, 4. You could have any of these four, possibly five, win this fucking show.
I agree 100%.
There's no doubt you could have, bro, if a Kim shows up 100% on, he might smoke everybody.
Yeah.
But he doesn't show up 100% all the time. So I'll remove him from number one for that reason. Kuklo and Ian put on a fucking show.
Yeah.
So I think that right there could go back and forth.
And just in case you don't know, just to fill you in and fill in the people watching if they don't know, apparently Steve is down. I think they've heard it on previous podcasts, but I heard it again today that it's even more significant than I thought. Apparently he's much better than he was in Texas as far as conditioning.
Oh, really?
As far as conditioning goes, yeah.
That's exciting.
Somebody said 10% better, which is, I'm like, that's huge.
It's going to be a show.
Yeah.
It's going to be a show. They put on a show, and you know, everybody's like, oh, it should have been Kuklo, should have beat him, this and that. Ian should have won this and that. It's like, I'm just glad they put on a show. Cause I'm not involved in the money at all. I have no ties to it other than my appreciation for it.
Yeah.
But I think the dark horse is Sergio.
Okay.
That's fair. I think if Sergio shows up, he is so big that I think if he shows up in really, really good shape, he might blow everybody away. Just because he's big. But me personally, I'm going to go ahead and put, it's tough. I was dead set on saying this because I knew you were going to ask me this question on here. I was going to be like, yeah, this is my top three. I think Nick shows up in his absolute best, Nick wins. I think Nick wins.
Okay. I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, I said that on a previous podcast because
I think
go ahead.
I think if the dude nails it, I think he's going to be better than he was. I'll put, and now the Kuklo Ian thing got me because Ian's not going to be the same either.
So I'm going to put, so does that mean we're putting Nick in first, or are you still not sure?
Yeah. Nope. We'll go Nick, Kuklo, Ian, Sergio.
Nick, Kuklo, Ian, and Sergio.
Yep. And Justin Rodriguez doesn't suck.
No, not at all. He's fucking awesome. You know what I mean?
It's not like, and a Kim again, if he's on, he's crazy, but I'll put,
who do you got fifth?
A Kim and then Justin. And that's cause Bonac's not in it.
So that means that you, Akeem, took sixth last year at the Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Ian last year at the Olympia.
Akeem was motherfucking on at the Olympia.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
I'm just saying too.
Just make sure before you lock these picks in, I just want to make sure you know. Akeem beat Ian. Now Ian's probably a lot better than he was at the Olympia last year too. So
you know
that's different also. So okay, this is a good list.
I mean, it's probably different.
This might be the best list I got so far.
I think this is going to be a stupid competitive Arnold.
I want to change my picks.
I think it's going to be stupid competitive. Okay. I do have to tell you that I'm absolutely horrible at betting on football too.
Listen, I picked Ian to win, Bonac mm-hmm. second, so we can remove Bonac.
Mm-hmm.
So Ian, Nick, Akeem, Sergio, Steve.
Okay.
But now that I hear more and more about Steve, I'm like, I think I might have fucked up.
But again, like I said, dude, I think any of those five guys could go and win the show.
I know.
Like these guys aren't small. They're not inexperienced. They're not shitty in any way, shape, or form. There's not one part of them that you're like, they suck. You can't say that about any of them. They're very complete.
Yeah.
They've been in really good shape before. They've nailed it. They've strung together shows. So it's not like you can't say anything like, what are you going to say about them?
The other thing is there's a lot of pressure on these guys because they know where they place is going to matter a week later. Or sorry, 2 weeks later at the Olympia, right?
You think it's going to play to their advantage or disadvantage? These being so close now.
Depends on their mentality and what they know about their bodies. Like Ian knows that he gets better the more he competes. So it might work out
harder.
Oh, might work out for Ian. Now, the same thing has happened to Steve. If he is as good as everybody says he is, because he's better than he was in Texas. So does that mean he's going to be even better? And I think it depends on the physique. Because you know, there are some guys... Yeah. If they compete too much, they start to go backwards.
Yeah.
And then there's other guys like Ian who, if they compete more, they just get better and better. So I think what the biggest thing about it is it might be a mind fuck for people. Like, let's say, for example, like if, just for example, let's say Nick takes fourth or Ian takes fourth or something, mm-hmm. right? And either one expected to win. Going into the Olympia, does that mean if Steve, Sergio, and Nick beat Ian, or if Steve, Sergio, and Ian beat Nick, does that mean they think, oh, fuck, I'm going to lose to them at the Olympia? Or does that drive them harder? Because then you have this whole mind game thing, right?
I think that these gentlemen are experienced enough. And I think that the people in this Arnold are some of the most driven people in bodybuilding today.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of them are going to take it as like a negative loss. I think they take it as, okay, dickhead, I'm going to fucking come back.
Yeah,
I'm coming harder because they have that mentality,
dude. I love that about Steve. So Steve, I thought Steve looked amazing in Texas, and him and Ian put on an amazing show.
Legit, yes.
Yeah, and I think Ian edged him out on conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's awesome that Steve's like, okay, motherfucker, I'll be back, and he's like way better. Apparently, he's way better.
If people were saying he's, that's the only reason that blipped into my head.
Yeah,
because I'm like, man, the only thing that was different was just Ian was a little bit sharper.
Yeah,
and it's like because they're both huge, they're both shredded.
Yeah,
they both have great shape. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like it's at that point you're looking at those, you're looking at the minor details. Those minor details win shows.
Yeah. It's funny because they're all, I know they're different physiques, so this may sound like a weird thing to say, but they're all similar size and they all mm-hmm. get crazy conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's very hard to pick them apart to see who's really going to be able to take it until you see them standing there.
3 years ago, this was not the conversation for open bodybuilding.
I know, right? Isn't that great?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I'm like this right now, what people are watching and why it's so cool with what you do is this is exciting.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are, a lot of people are connected to Ian and Nick because of the podcast. So they feel like they feel like their buddy is competing. So like my friend Nick is competing. Meanwhile, you know, they're just fans of the podcast, right? So it's like, but they have a like a real connection to. I read the comments and people are like, yeah, Nick's gonna win, Ian's gonna, and they discount everybody else.
Yes.
But I think it's a bias because of the connection, right?
That's the fun part of it. That's how it's supposed to be. And you're not supposed to get all upset or turn, or I mean, you should get upset because this is your life and you're putting it into it. But at the same time, looking back at everything I did, you got to remember this is an entertainment industry.
Yeah.
We're putting this on for people. They escape their daily life that really sucks right now because of everything going on in society. You guys are their escape.
Yeah.
Take pride in it, handle yourself well, and put on a fucking show. Be the baddest motherfucker you can be.
Did you think of it that way when you were competing, though? Because I never
did. No. No. Okay. That's why I'm saying it. I want them to hear it. I want them to know it, like, if I was hired as a consultant to help what people, I'd be like, dude, you guys need to go put on a show. Because Jay Cutler and Lee Priest, we'll use Lee Priest. Lee Priest was never the greatest bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But back in our day, like, everybody loved Lee.
Yeah.
There was no connection because the internet didn't exist, but people loved him because they were just able to short guy.
Yeah. He said the right shit too. He said things that weren't popular and people liked that.
Yes. And then the same with Jay, like Jay's career was massive because he was the second best and he handled himself and he put on a show wherever he went. And, you know, I remember telling Nick before he turned pro, I was like, make sure you play this mutant card. I was like, make sure you play the freak card because there's not, as you progress, there's going to be no one like you in the industry. There won't be one. And then I'm like, you know, do guest posings, this, that. And then literally the next year, he's like kind of COVID fucked that up, huh?
I think basically what you're saying, if to dwindle it down, is the personalities matter. Because Nick's the mutant. That's, his physique is mutant-like, but it's his personality. So it's like you want the guys to know that they should show who they are.
Dude, every bit of it.
Yeah.
And whenever you're on stage, you know, they've all have way more experience and everything, but I've been a fan of bodybuilding for 20 years now. And I will always be a fan of it. And just me watching it and what I invest myself into it just by being a fan, all these people are, and they love watching a good show. And you guys as competitors don't get involved in the bullshit, the trolling on the internet. Let them do it for you. Let everybody get in there and argue about why you suck. Whenever you don't, it's
these guys can't do that. Have you ever seen Ian on a fucking on a feed somewhere? Just lose his shit.
I see that and I'm like, bro, calm down.
He loves to stir up shit, though. He's good, though. He's good phenomenal. With the entertainment. He's good with the entertainment shit, though, because
that's what I mean. He's able to perform. You know what I mean? He's able to do that, but then go out there and actually throw it all on the line and be like, I'm fucking hard as nails. Yeah. There's no stress in this fucking body. I'm here to fuck you up.
Yeah.
So that's still good. Yeah.
Crazy. Seth, I appreciate everything. I appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a long time since we talked.
Fuck yeah.
I want to ask you a few more questions, but it's been a while. So I'm going to, what do you want to do? You got a busy day. I just want to ask you how the business is going.
Everything is going very well. Thank you.
Yeah?
We're very happy with the business. We're doing things that I never thought we'd do. Axe and Sledge is, it's growing to a point that, it's awesome to see because my business partners are taking this to a new level. Okay. We're going into GNC. We're in every single GNC in the entire world. Or at least in the country and then all of the military bases. So our goal is to be a very big global brand, but not lose any of our quality.
Sure.
Because we, as you know, you and I as competitors and so many other people know that brands that do that, they typically lose quality. They typically lose their essence. They lose their feel. But ever since I created this with my business partners, I wanted to create something that you don't lose that.
Yeah, I get it.
And in real big business, you've got to be a little bit of a fucking, you got to be an animal. And my goal has been to set a standard with how Axe and Sledge does business. So that way more brands can follow, more brands can get on the same shelves as Axe and Sledge and be a better example for how things should be done. So the consumer wins.
Yeah.
Because the consumers are the ones that should be purchasing and having fun and being excited to go to the gym with a great product, whether it's Hostile, Axe and Sledge,
yeah,
or whomever. The goal is for everybody to enjoy their days, enjoy their workouts. I mean, that's what I did when growing up. It was like you went in the GNC or you went into a store and you're like, what do you got new? And I think that the bigger that this brand grows and does business a certain way, the better it will be for the industry, for other companies to follow and do those same things. So now the stores will be filled with quality brands.
Yeah.
The stores will be filled with quality brands. The internet won't be full of just complete fucking digital marketing scams. It'll be good shit. And you embody that because everything that you're doing has quality on the forefront, just like us. It's about the consumer.
Yeah.
You might pay a little more money for our products, but you're getting a better product.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel like one of the things that's always bothered me about the newer era of doing business, and this like my entire life, I've kind of witnessed it in various areas, not just bodybuilding, is tricking the customer.
Yeah.
It's like the way to be the biggest company is who can trick the customer the best. Can you make them think that you're the greatest, but not spend the money to be the greatest?
Yes.
And that's kind of like the thing, no matter what industry, it's like, you know, you can see it in the food industry, you see it in the, like wherever you look, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have like a real distaste for that.
Yes.
Like it really bothers me. And it's the one thing I think, and I think you're that way too. And, you know, I tell people if you're going to buy products, you know, try and buy them from bodybuilders. Cause generally I feel like, you know, John's company, your company, Jeff Long's company, like there's a definite, you know, Sergio's company, there seems to be more care put into the products with less trickery involved.
Yes. We're not, you do the same thing. All those people you just mentioned, nobody gives out huge discounts.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's for a reason, of course. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I was going to say, cause you fucking can't.
Yeah.
You can't because the quality of the product is so great that we don't want to discount ourselves and all the work that we put in and the quality of ingredients.
Yeah.
At some point, everybody has to grow up and really and buy into quality of everything they do in life. And it's really like you just said, like whenever you're ever in some, they're trying to trick you. And it's like, if you feel like you're being a little scammed, you fucking are. So how about like, maybe before you buy something, you're like the pre-workout that I'm going to take, I should probably take something that's good for me, but makes me feel good. So read the ingredients. Do you recognize them? Research them, look into them, and then look at the competitor that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And whatever you just named, like you, me, John, fucking Jeff
Long, yeah. There's a
you line the non-stim pre-workouts up. You're like, well, they all look pretty fucking good to me.
Yeah, there's a similarity. All right,
well,
there,
then now you have your selection that you're going to choose from.
Yeah.
And that's been it's been super cool because going in the GNC has exploded our brand. And we've gone to the seminars. I've spoke at the executives, their seminar that they hold.
Yeah.
We've gone down to it. And it was like, this is who we are. Like I spoke in front of corporate GNC.
I was going to ask you, so how many people are in the audience at this thing?
There was probably about 55 people.
And
55 executives on, yeah. It was for their East Coast. It was for half of America.
Are you on a stage or in a room?
I'm in a big giant conference room. Okay. And
how long did you speak for?
Probably about 35 minutes.
Holy fuck. Seriously?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. What happened was for us, we went into all the franchises first because, I was like, you know, corporate America, I don't know. Well, I'm easy about this. I don't fucking like you, but franchises after COVID, they were like, we need foot traffic.
Yeah.
Need foot traffic. Well, GNC is very big.
Yeah.
Very big. Bigger than I thought they were. So again, inventory control became a huge thing with us. But we went into GNC franchise and they loved it. loved it. They were ordering when they kind of weren't supposed to be ordering, but they're like, fuck it. We need foot traffic. We need a new brand. Yeah. And this brand is hot and you guys are great. And you do things differently.
Sure.
And we're like, yeah, good job. You know, we'll take your money and send you product.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it works. So, it worked out really well. And then corporate was like, hey, like, what do we got to do? What do you guys need? How do we help? And we put a plan together. Pat led it up, put a plan together with him and Mike. And then they were like, we'd like you to speak at our conference. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. This is great. No problem. We'll all go down and do it. And then I'm like after we got off the call and everything, I looked at everybody. I'm like, y'all want me to speak
yeah.
at a corporate event?
Yeah.
Like, I get to be me, right? Like, I'm. We understand this.
Shit, piss, fuck it all. The whole thing.
It's all common, right? Everybody gets this. And they're like, yes, be that. Because I'm like, okay, I'm cool. Otherwise, I was going to be like, I think maybe one of you should, you know, you guys should talk to me. Because I'm just going to come out. I'm going to say the fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, let it rip. So we went down and I just told our story, you know, about what we care about and how we hold ourselves to a high standard and this and that. The CEO was there. Everybody's there. And the one table, like I was let it fly. And I'm like, and right now, HR probably fucking loves me. And everybody in the room looked at the HR table. And there's four people at this table. I'm like, you guys are HR, huh? And they're like, yep. And I'm like, good to see you guys. Fuck? But no, it's been a really good relationship with them. But what I noticed is they love us because people come in, they don't know about the brand, and then people come back and say what a great brand it is. They rebuy, they're excited. Quality protein, like you know your protein kills.
Yeah.
If you have a good protein, people continue to buy. And that's the greatest thing as a company you can do is have repeat customers because of your quality.
Yeah.
And that's where they're like, we haven't had a brand like this in a long time. It's really great to feel that. And we tell all of our employees all about what's happening in the company. And they're like, they wear it. It's really awesome.
But that's kind of GNC's fault when they say like, we haven't had a brand like this in a long time. I feel like they always search out the marketing brands, I guess.
What I will say is this, Fuad. One of the biggest things is what I've learned, we have, at least me, you know, Pat's done business forever in this, but sourcing and inventory control for the level of GNC is unbelievable.
I can't imagine.
It is, right now we have about 52,000 square feet of warehouse space and it fills up quicker and quicker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy fuck. Because it's intense, and we do a lot of direct ships from the manufacturer, and it's still intense, and the level of business that they do, but again, we had to be prepared for this.
Yeah.
It didn't happen within a couple months. It took,
of course,
took almost, be just prepared and plan for finances. Plan for inventory, not only ordering inventory, but also warehousing the inventory.
Sure.
So it's been a big process. And what I'm excited about is like, again, showing people like this can be done.
Yeah.
But the reason why GNC like said this thing is because a lot of those people that are those brands to be able to handle that, they might not be the most sound business people. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking to myself when you were saying that, I'm like, it's not something a small company could do. You would have to be at a certain level already before you could afford the inventory, get the inventory manufactured, get all the planning done, get the shipping there. Like it would take, I mean, you guys kind of hit it on the right stride because you've already been in business for 4 years now.
We'll be three and a half.
Yeah. So you're kind of
in business. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in that place where I could see that being us at that time. Like if that happened to us right now, I'd be like, I don't know if we're ready for that. It's, you know,
it's because whenever we were doing the franchises, even then, whenever we're like, I mean, bro, there's 1,800 franchise stores.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of fucking stores. And if each store has six proteins, you're like, oh, bitch. You just need six cans of protein for those. That's just for your stores?
Yeah.
That's just for your stores? Holy fuck.
Yeah.
How much space do we have left in the warehouse? That's not enough.
Yeah.
So, but again, the way I say it is, and it all sounds great from a monetary value standpoint and all this, but it's a revolving inventory, and it's great to make all that money, but you also have to reinvest because you're pushing for your company to grow, to get to bigger levels, and invest in yourselves. Yeah. Because it's just like, you know, betting on yourself, dude. This is something we're betting on ourselves. And the bigger the business, the more stress that comes along with it.
Yeah, of course.
And we're excited because we have a lot of great relationships, and we want to show people how to do things right.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that these companies know that quality brands can do good business.
I think you guys are doing that, man. I think, you know, you said you've been around 3.5-4 years now, and
yeah,
you've been very consistent. You know, since I've seen you guys start, you've been very consistent in the message, very consistent in the way things look, your supplements. Everything is awesome, man. So
yeah,
no, it's great.
And the same for you, dude. It's whenever I saw the new whenever I saw the protein drops coming, they're like, protein's back in stock. I'm like, nothing better than seeing something out of stock for a long time. Fuck.
Dude, I was so angry. I'm like,
they're excited.
It's this time. It's like, it's never been like this before, man. They're like, the lead times to get stuff done, and there's just so much back end shit we could discuss, but yeah.
Lids on fucking canisters.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is good that we're talking about, so people know what the fuck what actually goes on. Like, cause people are like, why are you out of protein for so long? And I'm like, it's the fucking lids. it's the lids.
We saw people in our group are like, oh, went cheap on the lids, huh? Getting new lids because they're cheaper. And I'm like, bitch, there wouldn't be a product without these lids.
Yeah. It's only lids available. Yeah.
Bro, it's a wild time right now for sourcing for the simple things.
Yeah. So people who don't know what we're talking about, the lids that you screw on top of your protein tub, they were out of, every manufacturer was out of them for like fucking months.
Yes.
And so it was holding up everything. And I think it's funny because, you know, companies do their best to keep customers happy. And customers get upset. And it's like, I'm trying my best, man. I swear to you, I'm up all fucking day and night trying to figure out. I've contacted 30 fucking people. I can't do anything. I can't do anything about
it. My favorite thing is if you're new, like say you're about to do business with somebody you've never done business, and you're like, hello, this is Fuad Aviad with House Style Supplements. You're like, I don't give a fuck who you are. What do you want? You're like, I'm calling about lids. You're calling about lids. So is everybody else.
Yeah.
And you're like, so I'm not important. Fuck me. Right.
That's
I'm just going to go fuck myself in the bathroom now. Okay. Sounds good.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. Dude, we got to a point where I was like, let's do bags. I actually considered doing bags, and then we were going to do the bags.
Yep.
But I didn't want to do a bag that wasn't at least printed nicely, like have a nice like label on it, shit, right?
Right.
So I discussed the bags, and they're like, the bags are going to take as long as the lids are going to get here. I'm like, well, fuck, right?
Dude, we did the same thing with our homemade because it's over 6 pounds, and I'm like, bro, we should look into bags. But then Pat was like, listen, he's like, bags are great. He's like, they're great for putting in boxes, for shipping reasons, all these things. He's like, but they're gonna tear. And I'm like,
is that what you're worried about for real?
He said that there's he would use some type of percentage, like
there's already a 6% rate, yeah.
Yeah, 6%, something like that of issues you're going to have with that. So if you run 1,000,
that's a lot. And I would assume, it's like different than like glutamine or something. Cause like if you're going to do it in glutamine, it's like a 500 gram bag. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. It's not a big deal.
6.5 pounds. But we did the same thing. We were looking at bags because we're like, maybe we should start looking at bags and this and that. And then Pat's like, he's like, yeah, but he's like the damage rate's high.
Yeah.
And the only reason we trust him because he was in manufacturing for 12 years. So I was like, all right, but you have to leave the options open because if lids hold up your product, you're like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah. It's good that we're having this conversation though, because I think people, I really feel like they think it's easier than it is. It's really not, especially like right now at this time. It's like, what are your lead times like? Go ahead.
We're doing a great job. What happens is everybody has to remember these manufacturing companies, they don't have 20 employees.
Yeah.
They have lots of employees, and turnover rate could be high. So that's where, especially at a time whenever labor is unreal right now.
Yeah.
Dude, it's right now we're lead times anywhere between 16 or 6 and 12 weeks, that's 14 not bad. Weeks. That's no, not bad. We were, because we're also in a growth phase. So we're talking about looking at other manufacturers to see what we can do, because you never want to leave all your eggs in one basket.
Sure.
And it's hard to nail the same exact product from another manufacturer.
100%. Yeah.
And then you call another manufacturer and they tell you 24 weeks and you're like, excuse me, what was that?
Yeah. We're not,
you said 24 weeks.
Yeah. We're not there, but like, so if people listening that just, so, cause we're kind of using like terminology, if you don't know what we mean, from the time I call the manufacturer and say, I want protein, the lead time is normally, if it's a reorder, like what, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
In like the normal phase of time. But now it's like, fucking 12 to 16, even possibly 20.
Right.
So
you tell me 20 weeks, I'm like, excuse me, that's half the year.
Yeah, right. So you're trying to plan for half the year. So you're like, I gotta buy all this shit now because you can, yeah, it's like, it's so hard. Like I can't imagine trying to start now. Like,
yeah.
We're like, yeah. not that we're old or anything, but we kind of are moving along. Yeah, we
relationship. Along. You pay your bills. You sell a product. They know you sell, and you pay your bills. You're good peoples.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a wild time.
Interesting times, man. Okay, Seth, I appreciate you coming on, dude. I appreciate you shooting the shit and always being so forthright with all the information and giving people something to learn about every time we're on.
I always thank you for having me on, dude. This is always fun.
Anytime, dude. When are we gonna? When these restrictions get lifted, are we going to do something?
Yes, I'd like to.
When are you going
to
buy your truck?
Tomorrow.
2 o'clock.
January, February, March. Probably like March or April.
When she gets over it. Well, restrictions should be over then by then in communist Canada. So, yeah. All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon, man. I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much.
Brother, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, brother. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, share with your friends, and like the video. And if you get a chance, check out the description for all the different links to all the different places you can find Hostile and myself. And lastly, check out hostile.com for our new line of supplements and all of our apparel and gear. Thanks again for watching.